coming up on Thunder Pop.
Bring me the crystal.
Bring me the sedatives.
Bring me the dark crystal.
Bring me the sedatives now.
Opiates nowadays. They're all hacked up on opiates.
Is opiates a downer?
Opiates are a painkiller.
Well, and everybody's jacked up on them. That's what I'll need after this hour's over. With the man that's sitting across the room.
you better believe it, boy. Because you ain't chewing up my sounds, right? Gosh darn it, Papina.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is? That's Gabby Hayes, a 1939 actor. I do have some memories. That's what I emulate when I play Gibby as my character.
Gibby is the alias of to the man that sits across the room from me on this 90th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast.
Number 90.
And we're doing the 90th episode with you because this is your 90, right?
Yeah, I'm 90.
This is your 90th
episode. Gosh, Dougie Machinka, I'm 90 years old and I'm waiting to be on a motion picture show like Gabby Hayes in 1939.
Kirk-O-Matic, ladies and gentlemen. In the Thunder Pop Dome.
Number 90.
Where I, Stephen Presley, and Kirk-O-Matic host this episode. But we're going to talk about a show.
That has no host.
That has no host.
Has no host.
That's the 2019 Academy Awards ceremony.
And that's insane.
That's coming up. I don't know if they're going to have it all ready to go.
Yeah, well.
But they're going to do the whole... And apparently this is not the first time in the history.
Right.
There has been another Academy Awards previous year where there was no host. I'm not remembering the year and the reason there was, but...
It was the early years, like when they had Wizard of Oz and
So no host?
They just had it at a dinner table. They had dinner table at the Roosevelt Hotel way back in the 30s because they didn't have TV. They just presented it on like a Bob Hope hour.
In the originals
at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Really?
From Man's Chinese, because they just wanted to present these awards to some folks for that year. And
then it got into
TV, and it was originally just done in radio.
It was a smaller production. It became a bigger production.
It was a dinner party, and everybody was there, and there was a huge crowd of people, and then they gave out these awards.
Okay, you mentioned something that's interesting. You're talking about dinner party, and I think that's something they need to get back to with the Academy Awards.
Well, that's what they did that's what they do with the Golden Globes.
It's to make it more of a party, a celebration.
Yeah, right.
So I'm gonna hit upon that.
Okay.
To start this, to open the show, we've got reviewing the trailer.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the official new trailer for Aladdin 2019.
Okay.
That's coming out. It's the live-action remake of Aladdin with Will Smith.
I've seen it on the big screen. It's fantastic.
So we're going to talk about that because it's been getting a lot of ridicule on the internet.
It's called pushback or blowback.
Blowback, exactly.
Why? What's the blowback?
People think that Will Smith as the genie is off. They're having some fun with that.
Oh, they think it's not a good thing, huh?
Well, I think Robin Williams put his stamp so much on that
character. Incredible. It's incredible.
That it's hard for people that grew up with Aladdin to adjust to an idea of...
Well, it's the baby boomers that are in charge.
It's such an extreme swing in the casting.
Sure.
Because you could have gone with somebody that was Robin Williams-esque, which I know that's not easy.
Will Smith has incredible power.
He's
in Hollywood.
Oh, he's terribly. He's
big.
He's tremendous. I was going to say terrible.
And I think it's going to be a great movie.
It could be one of the things where when Ben Affleck was cast as Batman,
it's another one of those.
There was a lot of blowback.
You think there's going to be a lot of that?
But he quickly won everyone over as he took over the role. People were like, "This is the best Batman ever."
No, it isn't. I like the first Batman.
Well, you know, I grew up with
Michael Keaton.
My Batman was Michael Keaton, but my favorite Batman was actually The Dark Knight. Those movies, The Dark Knight
movies. Well, I like the first one, and maybe a little bit of the second one, but that third one is a no-go for me.
You didn't like Dark Knight Rising?
Yeah.
Or Rises?
Yeah.
Not Rising, but Rising.
No, I didn't like that one.
Really?
Where the stadium goes down? The end of the movie?
With Bane.
With Bane, yeah. Bane was much better in the remake of the Road Warrior.
I realize
Mad Max. That, he was great in
the
that.
Actor, not, the actual, think, not the actual Bane. They didn't have Bane back. Cross, Bane. It wasn't a crossover.
Huh?
Bane didn't cross over into a Mad Max movie.
He was in a Mad Max movie.
But the actor that played Bane was in the Mad Max movie.
No, Bane plays Mad Max in the Thunder Road.
The actor.
Yes, the actor.
Yeah, they didn't have Bane himself in Mad Max. Like taking on the whoever they're taking on.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
He did.
That would be quite a crossover.
He played him. Bane played a new version of the Road.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let's go on to your thing. Let's go on to your... That's another show, man.
It's a whole other thing.
God, Bane played the part in Thunder Road. Go see it. Charlene Theron did all that?
I'll look it
up. It won an Academy Award.
It did. Yes. It was nominated. Mm-hmm. It won some awards. Mm-hmm. So... In this show, we got to get caught.
This has anything to do with the Batman. I am Batman.
I'm Batman.
I got work. Austin Waters.
It's a shame they can't have a crossover with Batman and Ant-Man because one's in Marvel, one's in DC, because then Batman right. Batman would just eat Ant-Man.
Yeah,
because don't bats just eat insects?
I don't. Yeah, they do. They eat mosquitoes.
He would just eat them.
We have 30 million mosquito eating bats.
It would be a cannibalist superhero crossover.
Right.
All right. Well, we're gonna do a review of the trailer.
Okay.
We're gonna find some sedatives for Kirk O'Matic.
Opiates, man.
We're gonna talk about the Oscars 2019. Kirk also has the formula. He's going to tell us as he holds his
Hollywood calling.
Phone. He's getting a call.
Yeah, it's Austin Water.
His flip phone being held up to the and by the way, Kirk shows up with a boombox.
Yes, I got a boom.
Early 90s boombox, and he's got a stack of cassettes and CDs, and he says, "I want to play these songs on this episode."
It's going to be usurped by some millennial eating. Internet.
So he said, So we're about to start. He's like, I want to plug in my boombox here because I want to play these songs during the show. And I'm like, Kirk, it'd just be easier for me to play that stuff off my computer.
No. I knew this was going to happen because Hooray for Hollywood.
I was going to ridicule.
I want the Hooray for Hollywood. And can you plug that up? Because you're in control, you see, and you have this radical sparkle ball coming into your show and your little podcast nest. And I'm disrupting your thing.
You know, it's hard for me to play songs live because I'm being production.
Yeah, the production system would pull that up.
It's hard.
Yeah, I want Hooray for Hollywood. You didn't even bring that up for me.
The time I take to find it, I'm having to cut that dead air later.
That's why I had that, because I was just going
to
hit.
The only reason I didn't do that is because since I'm on a timer straight, I don't know if we'd have time to hook all that up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I knew. That's why I got here early. With my cup of joe.
Yeah. All right, so
play your trailer and we'll go over it.
And then we're going to have agree or disagree and our usual thoughts and advice right after this. Yeah, Episode 90.
Nine zero. Dial a sound effect.
Dial 9090. All right,
chickens.
You like my new jingle?
Yes, I do.
That's
I
a little thing I can play in between. Mm-hmm, little jingle.
And you gonna edit that in later?
No, it's already there. That I played live.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a. It's a juggling act when you try to play this stuff. That's
we
why
have production assistants at other places. You know, the internet is great, but you need a little assistant that's plugging up all the sound effects and all that stuff live.
I totally need it. Yeah. I totally need it. But yeah, you want it a little
because okay. you have the ghost host come in, and you want to have all these little extra bits and pieces come in. That's good.
There you go. You want some Hooray for Hollywood?
Today, we're going to be speaking with the big Hollywood stars of tomorrow.
There it is. Dun, dun. Okay, welcome to the... They have the red carpet ceremony, yeah. And then they like to play this, yeah. Don't they?
Yes, they do.
They still do that?
Yes, they do.
Welcome to the 2019 Academy Awards in Hollywood.
In down front of the Roosevelt Hotel across from the Man's Chinese Theater. We bring it to you live.
Kodak Theater, right?
Yes, that's true. From it's a Disney Kodak.
From the Kodak Theater with your host. Who's hosting?
Who's the ghost host today?
Who's hosting?
Some penguins, man.
With no host.
No host today. The ghost host.
But we'll have a cavalcade of stars to make up for it.
Da, da, da.
No host because nobody wanted this job.
No, it's because it's become too politically correct.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But
first, we got to have another cup of joe.
Yeah, we could do that. And Aladdin 2019 for review in the trailer. Here it is.
Okay, play it.
Have you seen this?
I saw it on the big screen the other day.
Okay, you've seen the best version of it.
It's wonderful. I think Disney's going to win the big prizes.
So you're not worried?
I'm not worried.
You're not worried about the blowback?
No, I want to see the movie. I don't care about anything bad.
Bring me the lamp. Your life begins now. Aladdin.
They cast the little monkey well.
Bring me that monkey.
The monkey lives up to the original hype.
That's the original monkey from, you know. That's George the monkey.
They cast the tiger well, too. The tiger lives up to the original.
I think the whole thing is just going to be terrific. They know what they're doing.
You really don't know who I am. Genie, wishes, lamb, none of that ringing a bell.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Music's good.
It's the top-notch thing, man.
Okay, so the thing is, Will Smith, when I see that, and I think one of the reasons there's been blowback on it,
right.
is people are so used to Robin Williams.
Right.
He's iconic as the genie.
But this is the live-action version.
He made that role his own.
Robin Williams also had a lawsuit against Disney for years because they didn't pay him some back pay, too.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. He finally got paid.
That he did finally get that settled? What was it? Because of residuals
for reruns
and VHS?
Right, VHS and DVDs.
Because that was something that wasn't factored in when the original
release.
That's
right. And then they kept the money and they promoted it.
Because back then they didn't know how that stuff was going to work.
There was a breakdown with that.
They were kind of thinking it, kind of coming up with...
And that's another reason why they had that writer's strike.
Yeah, and that happens. It seems like every 15 to 20 years, there's a new kind of adjustment that has to be made in the way things are done.
Uh-huh.
Because the latest, the most recent was the blowback they were getting from the streaming.
Mm-hmm. Streaming and internet.
And people were like, we're not getting paid for this internet streaming when our shows are being run on the Hulus. We're not. How do we get paid for that?
How do we get paid?
And then, of course, 20 years ago, it was like these VHS releases or these DVD releases.
That's right.
We're not properly being...
They're not. Usually you get the first 2 years of residuals on regular television.
Yeah,
and then per the region all over the world, you get a residual. But the actors don't usually are held to that. It's the producers that took the ultimate risk that owns the property. You're just hired as a actor in the movie, but the actors and the writers said, "Well, now wait a minute. We're gonna hold you to that. So that's why they had those.
It seems like in sports and in film and television, almost every 15 to 20 years, they have to renegotiate everything.
It's because of new technologies.
Because of new technology. Yeah, uh-huh. So there wasn't stuff that they could see, they could foresee when they were making these agreements.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're really giving up all your rights to that piece. It's the producer that takes the ultimate risk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion because that's when I'm producing stuff.
And like 20 years down the road, they're going to be having to go through this all over again. Once they get the streaming figured out, there's going to be a virtual 360 version of the movie that was redone to where you could put on VR glasses and experience being in the movie.
And it'll be in your brain. They're just going to send that wire right to your brain someday. And then it'll be encapsulated into a memory bubble.
That's
scary. Then how are they going to get paid for that?
You know, you've been to IMAX movies, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, you like the IMAX movie?
I don't like the price, so I kind of steer clear.
Yeah, it has to be. You only go...
I'll go see Alita in that. I'll go see the biggest of movies.
The certain movies that
I was kind of bummed about the Batman 3. Mm-hmm. It was in IMAX, but only parts of it were in IMAX.
Really?
And the rest of it was... Yeah, it was rest of it was just 70 millimeters. That's a kind of a pisser.
Like, there's certain movies it's worth going and paying the extra money. Like you said, Alita.
I will go see Alita. I will go see Lawrence of Arabia on the big screen.
Probably Avatar. When the new Avatar comes out, you might go see that.
Yeah, I will. But I won't see it in 3D. But I have to say, I just was forced in to see a movie the other day. I was in South Texas. We were doing a little film shoot. I went to see that.
We're out in South Texas.
Down Kingsley.
Way down there.
Way down there. We were looking for prop to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Anyway, the guys that I were with, my producer and Paul Smith, we went to see They Shall Not Grow Old. And I have to say, Peter Jackson has just made this movie about World War I.
Yes.
And it is you must see it in 3D. I don't like to spend the extra money, but I'm going to say right here, this is absolutely a C because they've taken all those old scrungy films that you've seen on the web or even on PBS.
Yeah.
He has brought that. Like it's like watching it yesterday and produced yesterday.
So it's worth it.
Oh, it's absolutely worth it. And I'll say it again, you've got to see it in 3D. I don't like to spend the extra money, and I don't like wearing those glasses for 2 hours.
No.
But I can tell you, that movie blew me away. It is so rich in its color. They started out in black and white. But go ahead.
Well,
let's keep talking about the
producing of content in 3D is just like producing special effects.
It is special effects.
You can get it better.
Took them 4 years to make this.
Yeah, they took their time.
They have 100 hours of stuff to bring down. And it is just constant yakking and footage.
It's just
amazing.
Any other element of the film, you go to a movie sometimes and you're like, I see what they were trying to do with the special effects.
There's no story in this. There's no story in this one. It's a documentary. Yeah, it just shows anyway, it's incredible to see it.
But you know how sometimes they get the special effects right, sometimes they don't?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get the 3D right, sometimes they don't.
This was absolutely.
But they get 3D right
on that. Well, Peter Jackson, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're going to get it right.
So on the Will Smith is the genie, that's the thing that got a lot of blowback. It became a meme.
I won't see it in 3D, and I won't see that in
theaters.
IMAX. I won't see it in IMAX. Oh, I'll see it in theater.
You will go to the theater and see it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not going to pay extra to see it in 3D
IMAX.
Is
it a matinee? Is it a discount film?
Yeah.
Is it go to the first week?
Yeah, I go to the first week.
Really?
$5.
So here's the thing.
Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday discount day. That's your day that you strike. If you want to find Kirk on Tuesdays, you go to his neighborhood.
You got that $5.
Neighborhood movie theater. I'm going to surprise you.
Well, if you start seeing a lot of movies, you don't want to spend $12 and $15. That's a $60 a week.
Right.
I mean, you've seen a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I try to see as many as I can.
You try to see as many as you can. You have time to see. So Will Smith.
Yeah.
Is it the Fresh Prince?
Yeah.
He's doing the Fresh Prince as a genie.
Right. He's doing that. That's his shtick.
That's his shtick.
Yeah.
Now he does that in a lot of his roles.
Yes, he does.
I know he's made movies before where he was actually in the character and not being the Fresh Prince.
Right.
He's capable of getting out of his shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Proven in movies like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Ali, where he plays Ali. And he had to get lost into that character.
And X.
So he's not a one trick pony?
No, he's not a shrew.
But he's capable of being doing getting
out
of that.
He does that in the comedy shtick. He does that.
Yeah, in comedies, he likes to get back into his Fresh Prince shtick, and that's what
he's
doing.
Wild West.
Yeah, and most,
which he gets to do the soundtrack too.
Well, yeah, he did that.
It was a bombardier.
Sometimes it's worked, and sometimes it hasn't worked.
But you got to do a lot of stuff.
It works in Men in Black. It works in Independence Day.
Yeah. Now, why isn't he in Men in Black 2? I don't understand.
Bad Boys. Well, he did the first three. He's not going to be in the fourth one because it's a spinoff.
Men in Black 3?
No, he did Men in Black 3. That was the one that had Josh Brolin in it.
Okay. I saw that. I remember now.
They get into time travel stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool film. Yeah. So I didn't care for, I don't know, two, I think they were a little weaker than one.
Right.
And then three was
It's new.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited.
But then three was a good, nice little...
But he does these little comedy side things. He says, can I go back to Fresh Prince? Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
That's what's going
to
happen here.
Are people going to find that easy to digest, him doing the Fresh Prince as the genie?
I think because Disney is handling it, and they're a bigger,
In Disney, you trust?
In Disney, I trust.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did an... they're doing their old stamp, much like they did with Mary Poppins.
Yeah,
they're bringing Mary Poppins back. Mary Poppins is exactly the same, but they have different actors in there.
Yeah.
And they have
Did you see the Mary Poppins
remake? Oh, yeah, and I saw that on the big screen. Because
did you like it?
I liked it.
Could you accept it?
I could accept it. It doesn't have the nuance, but some of those sequences, the dance and the music sequences, are spectacular.
Did they get rid of...
Miranda, he's really great. As the Dick Van Dyke, he's really great. I mean,
Yeah, no, he's great. He's very talented. Very talented. But here's the thing.
It's capable,
Did they get rid of some of the stuff that there was controversy over? Because I had been reading about...
They
about
brought the back the penguins.
No,
they had the dancing sequence and the effects and all that.
The chimney part, because there had been some blowback on the internet that the chimney part was a blackface reference.
No. There might be some blackface in there, but their chimney sweeps. And
yeah, so they
dance so quickly.
They didn't clean that up.
They didn't have to. I think it's... It might have been a little bit, but I think the dance sequence for that is spectacular, that you would not see on a Broadway stage because it's so intricate with those bicycles and those fountains and everything playing perfectly. The choreography for that sequence is absolutely bar none.
Is it visually better because of it being newer?
Yes. Your memory is just locked with it because if you remember the other one, you're going to say, oh, this is that section, and it's all plays out, and it's the same kind of pathos and storytelling.
It's a remake. It's not a sequel.
It's not a sequel. yes, it is a sequel because the kids that grew up from the original are now grown up and parents. Yes, I would say that it was a sequel.
Is it a continuation of the original universe?
Yeah, Mary Poppins does come back. It's called Mary Poppins Returns, and it's wonderfully put together. And they know that they're playing to the baby boomer. They know they're playing to those young kids that growing up, and they just say, well, now you can see our Mary Poppins all brand new to their kids, you see. And they're going to take them, you see. Everybody's going to go see that. Mm-hmm. But, it's so difficult because everybody and their brother has the Facebook and all their own movie making that it's hard to get people to come to the movies, That's the hardest part.
And Mary Poppins is a lot of magic, right?
Tons of magic in there. Well, the effects are just terrific. Meryl Streep is in it. Gosh. She sings a little bit. So it's the same plug, pop these in, and the same set. It's the same movie, but different music. Different effects, but it's kind of the same kind of style of that 70s movie.
Is there any dark magic in it?
Dark, no. There's no dark magic.
I did some dark magic on myself.
You did?
You know what I did?
No, I don't.
A few episodes ago, I did a whole monologue about phlegm.
Phlegm, what's that?
And how I hated phlegm and having to clear my throat.
Oh,
all the
phlegm.
Time. Yeah, and how you'd have to...
F-L-E-M.
Yeah, and how you'd have to pull over to the side of the road to get rid of a loogie.
Mm-hmm. You mean a lung cookie?
And
you've been smoking too much?
Well, no, I don't smoke.
I'm Hacker Jack.
I don't smoke.
Well, then you have a congenital disease.
I don't know. But allergies, I would say. Allergies.
Okay, I'll go with that.
But ever since then, I've done a few shows where I cannot stop clearing my throat. And then the last episode...
Are you drinking coffee during the show?
No.
Well, that'll drain you.
Is that what I need to do?
Yeah, it'll. You said many years ago that'll take all your stuff and rush it down.
The last show I just edited, I had to edit out a bunch of almost the whole show was that.
Oh, horrors!
Yeah, I can already tell this is going to be another one of those.
No, don't do that.
I'm trying to move away from the mic when I have to clear my throat.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
that's a personal problem. That's not a problem of the people that are waiting to hear your adjustment to the Hollywood thing.
The 2019 Oscars, speaking of the Hollywood thing, Kirk O'Matic.
Yeah.
No host.
No host. We had no host this time.
We've known that for
a while.
What
happened to the Crystal? What happened to Bobo? What happened to, what is his name? Letterman. What's wrong with Hart? Why can't Rock come back? Come on, man. These guys.
The Rock?
The Rock. The Chris Rock.
Oh, I think it meant The Rock.
They're the
same.
Can
you smell the host that The Rock is cooking?
Dwayne Johnson could have done it.
Dwayne Johnson could have hosted
it. Why not?
Why not?
It's better than Titan. I mean, my God, that's a terrible show. And he knows it.
He hosts that?
He hosts the Titans.
That's his show, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a reality show. The money must have been so good. But he could have done the Oscars.
I think he's a producer on it.
What's wrong with the Oscars? He could do that.
He's getting that producer money.
Oh, God, yeah. He wants to own his product.
So we got...
Or we could have gotten Schwarzenegger. He'd be good. You could get Clint Eastwood. He would be good. Make my day.
Well, Eastwood's getting a little old. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a geezer. But he is a mule.
So the Golden Globes, I mean, they're the golden standard now for award show.
I think we ought to have Trump tweet the Oscars.
Trump tweets the Oscars.
It would have been better.
You are fake news.
Sir.
Just be up there tweeting the Oscars.
Well, if they talk enough shit about him during the Oscars, he will tweet the Oscars.
He will tweet the Oscars. So what's the difference? He can be the host because he's going to take over that wall.
He could host it from the wall, live from the wall. So,
you know, I think they ought to build a wall and put a monorail on it so we can travel to Hollywood.
It could work.
So it would put everybody to work.
It would. So the Golden Globes have become the standard in award shows now.
It's because they have a party.
They have a party. It's festive.
And they're drinking.
The whole problem is that years ago, they tried to spice up the Oscars.
Yeah.
And make it fun.
And Ricky was not there. Ricky Gervais.
Well, they brought in, years ago, even before the internet, they bring in David Letterman to host the Oscars. And they said, this is going to spruce.
I think he enjoyed doing it.
Well, I don't think he enjoyed the blowback.
I know that Ellen didn't.
Ellen doesn't want to do it anymore.
I know, but she would be a good host.
She'd be a great host. Yeah. She could do it again. She would have been great. I think they probably asked her to come back and do it.
Yeah, they
did. After they lost their host.
They ask every time.
I mean, she's there at ABC. I'm sure she was one of the first calls they made when they lost their host.
Right.
But the Oscars have better hosts. Mm-hmm. They have funnier bits. Mm-hmm. It's better production. And the people drink during the show. Like
no, you just said Oscars. You meant Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes have funnier bits, better hosts, and the people drink during the show.
And they laugh.
So they have a good time.
Yeah.
They're loosened up. Uh-huh. And they don't sit in a theater environment. They sit at tables. Like you were talking about.
Bring back the tables.
They bring back the tables, have a dining
experience. Now, you know that's 1930s, 40s talk.
Yeah.
They had the tables when they began this whole awards thing.
I think
for the Academy Awards.
They should go back to that.
Well, it's too involved because they're huge groups of productions. Now, everybody and their brother has to have a trophy. I mean, you know.
They can still have it in a big place, but I think the looser, more relaxed environment would make it easier for the host.
You're going to have it at the Super Bowl because everybody having a table.
Well, you could go that route, too, and make it a big Super Bowl in a stadium and just anybody can go.
So everybody at the Golden Globes should just wait a week and stay there, sleeping bags.
Have it at the same damn place.
Yeah, and just have it at the same day, too. You save bucks.
But, I mean, the problem is that last year we talked about the Oscars, how the ratings have been slipping every year.
Right.
And that
it's because movies have gone down in quality.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's about that necessarily, but I think people have gotten tired of award shows because of all the political protests.
It's because it's not really fair. It doesn't. I mean, there are only about 526 motion pictures developed from Hollywood every year, and they are distributed worldwide. And there's a set amount of people producing these things. Mm-hmm. There's only about 11 major studios that put out maybe three or four motion pictures, and out of those, they want to have their little independent film go to the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, it's the politics.
Yes, it's politics.
So, I mean, they tried years ago to have some fun with their casting for a host for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. They bring in David Letterman.
Yeah, right.
And David Letterman comes in, and he brings in a lot of his
I think he did good.
But he got a lot of blowback for what he did.
I didn't think the blowback started as much because we didn't have full rush of internet when he was doing
it. Well, it would have been worse. Can you imagine how bad that would have been during the internet?
Horrible.
They would have retired him.
And I think a lot of those people that are asked to be hosts, much like Hart, you get this blowback even before you even get asked to do the hosting.
The Kevin Hart thing has probably ruined it now forever.
Because they don't, his agents and managers don't want to take the chance of his image being ruined by whatever he has to say.
Well, that's what's going to happen to future potential hosts. They're all going to be like, "Do I have any
I have leeway because Ricky got, you know."
Yeah, do I have any old tweets?
Yeah.
Do I have any old stand-up comedy acts where I make a gay joke?
Any joke that you played years before, are you going to get busted for it?
Yeah. You know, he was a UT football coach here in Austin for about 3-4 years after Mac Brown, Charlie Strong, and he was quoted as saying, "The social media is the end of society."
Right.
And because it's become sort of you're constantly under a microscope for anything you do now.
Criticism.
And the criticism,
it's a highly reputational business, you have to understand.
And sometimes it's justified, and sometimes it's not justified.
Right.
But here's the thing. If you were a new celebrity, a new person starting off in the business,
right.
And you were a manager or a publicist or an agent.
Yeah. They want to vet that before it goes live. And now you have the ability. We could do this show live, and we have to self-censor our show because we're not going to get trouble. I mean, I worry about saying something if I get in trouble later for what I say, you know, I want a precursor to that before I want to edit that piece out.
Yeah. If we actually had an audience and if people actually knew.
Hang out. If we had an audience, I love it.
Yay. And if people knew who we actually were.
Yeah, that's right. If we were big. If you had power. You don't have any power,
We could go on the show and we could end it all.
Right.
With saying something.
Oh, it's horrible. And I would ask you to cut that out. You know,
but if it's live.
Yeah.
You're
screwed.
You'd be screwed if you said something.
I mean, I worried about that doing that. Those shows that on TV, they're now being recorded by people. When I did that live show at ACTV 20 years ago, they're playing those because I sent 30 of them overseas to Oslo, Norway.
Yeah, they went all over the place.
Yeah, they went all over the place. And they're now popping up on the internet, and stuff that I said could get me into trouble.
Well, Kurt, Kurt was a big-time Austin Access host.
Yeah, because I did it for a long time.
You had three or four different shows.
Right, I had Cypherscope, Kirk-O-Matic Live, I had Cheap Peaks, and I also had Camera One.
Over a decade in production at Austin Access.
Right.
Yeah. Have you been over there in a while? It's something.
I went over there just to drive by and see it.
Something else.
Yeah, Rick Linkletter's show.
What?
Rick Linkletter owns it from the Austin Film Society.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing now.
See, if I start berating somebody on the air here, you know, I wanted that edited out.
But here's the thing. What if one of us became...
I mean, if we were Alex Jones.
If one of us became famous all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then old stuff that you said or I said on this podcast, if it was controversial or if it was...
They would pick up on it. They hate their... they would just turn it off.
Somebody would go and they'd listen to everything that we've ever recorded.
Right.
And they would find one thing where they would consider it something that
that's what publicists
do. Blow out at 20...
Right. And so they want to ruin your career.
So next thing you know, know, your publicist, if you became famous, or my publicist would be asking me to delete every other episode that we've ever recorded.
Right.
You know, so here's my question, though. If you were a manager and you were bringing in new people that you're grooming for the Hollywood limelight, would you tell them, no Twitter, you'll have no Twitter, no Facebook, we're going to start with a clean slate, we're not going to do social media? Because of the possibility
of you tweeting something to get the reputation to go big.
So you think it's more important to have it than to just stay away from it?
I think that's what they talk about all the time in those back room management corporations in Hollywood.
What about people that are already established?
That's why we're getting bland people now.
What about What about people that are already established that that never really got into
it? And they're looking for those people that can go big.
You know, like I'll give you an example. Eddie Murphy, he steers away from doing social media.
Sure.
Because he said, all I'm doing is I'm allowing people to drive up to my car, roll their window down, and yell at me anything they want.
Right. That's terrible.
And that's what social media is.
That's exactly what the hecklers. They're hecklers. Now you can heckle back at these people. And it's terrible.
You can
ruining the entertainment. You know, entertainment is an offensive thing.
We should start that social media platform and call it Heckler.
Heckler.
Like our own version of Twitter.
Well, there's probably one already. Google that. It's already out there.
It invites you just to heckle people.
I don't want to roll down my window. I don't roll down my window and say, hey, you stink. Get you out of here.
That would be our logo. Our logo would be a guy yelling out the window of his car. Instead of a bird like Twitter.
So that's what actually, you know, the thing is, really, the motion picture industry is built on the dreams of people living their lives vicariously through the motion pictures. But now that you can make a motion picture on your camera phone and distribute it yourself, you're not spending that much time with the Hollywood thing. And that's what's really ruining Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because they have to make more and more bland stuff that's not offensive to anyone. And now they ask to be given awards for that. Mm-hmm. You see? And so more and more people are going to look at this crazy awards show. Oh, they're so out of touch with my my lifestyle and my way of life way out here in Nebraska or whatever. And they don't want to go see those movies because they think Hollywood is so, you know, liberal.
Well, you're hitting upon something there that's key. I think the problem with the Oscars and, well, you want to talk about the problem we discussed last year was the ratings dropping.
Right.
Okay. And that was a thing where I think it's a complex issue. I don't think it's one thing alone. Mm. I think some of it is the political stuff. People are tired of the political protest.
Right.
I think the other problem is that people have a lot of the things that they can do without to entertain themselves outside of watching an award show. They can they can be on their phone scrolling, and they can get any little video dialed up in seconds and watch it. So they got the award show on maybe in the background, but the sound is down while they're on Instagram.
Right, and the reason that they're doing that with their own friends, and they're interacting with their little community of those movies that they saw and they enjoyed, and then they want to tweet back and forth and be in their own little film community about that. Because, oh yeah, look at that. You know, the Green Book won all these awards, or Roma won all these awards, you see? Mm-hmm. And they're saying, oh, yeah, I could really get into that film. Oh, and I didn't. I didn't like it. You see what I mean? And it's so everybody's an individual, and they can heckle back to Hollywood. They can heckle back. You didn't have any blowback back in the day. You went to the movie, and then you saw the award show, and you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And there it was.
Well, the original host... They got a lot of blowback pre-internet was David Letterman.
Ta-da! 2001, man, that was a great movie.
He even did more energized music to come out to.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So you see everybody sitting in the audience?
Sure.
They're already ready to pounce.
Right.
They've got that look of like, let's judge him.
And can we heckle him on our phone?
A word hasn't even come out of David Letterman's mouth yet, and you can already see the looks on people's faces. So here's the thing. A lot of the people there are there because they were nominated for an award. They're already really uptight. They're super nervous. Their nerves are on high alert.
Uh-huh.
And they're not... there to go see a comedy show.
Right.
So they have a trouble. They have trouble laughing and enjoying the jokes because all they can think about is
it's winning.
Is what is the magazine next day going to say about the outfit they wore?
Uh-huh.
And are they going to be on the best list or the worst list for the fashion
for their costume?
The fashion police.
Uh-huh.
And are they going to? Is that going to hurt them in the
future?
In the future,
are they going to be asked to wear the diamonds?
Do I look good on TV?
Yeah.
And am I going to win, or am I going to sit here and the embarrassment?
Act like I'm winning, and I love this every minute.
I love that I just lost, and I have to have a fake look on my face.
And you know why all that? It's because of ego and reputation. The whole business is built on that, and you couldn't heckle back. But now you can. I can Instagram back, and I can say, oh, you're a terrible host. And that's why all the hosts don't want to do that. And even the people that are presenting this year are going to be worried. Oh, how good do I look? And did I say the right thing? Did I get the right joke? I mean, you know, the joke writers are probably saying, I don't want to write a joke, man.
It's a ton of pressure. It's a ton of pressure.
Tons of pressure.
So David Letterman, he hasn't even opened his mouth yet with a joke. He's come out. He's trying to be fun. He's trying to be upbeat. He's doing his thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here he goes.
Okay. All right, I'm out here.
I'm out here. I did it. I'm being paid to do this.
Thank you very much. Now we're 5 minutes late. By the way, if Mr. Hiller is still in the auditorium, there's some guys out in the parking lot that would like to talk to him about Hoop Dreams. So,
I don't get that. It's been a while.
Hoop Dreams was a
documentary.
It was a documentary about basketball.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 67th Annual Academy Awards.
67, I'm 30 years old.
I'm very, very excited. And
is it the 90th Oscars this year?
And
I don't know.
I think it is. You get a 90th show.
We can take care of this.
Oh boy, here goes.
Oprah? Uma? Uma? Oprah? I feel much better.
And then he goes on throughout the show. I think he does that. He continues on.
Oprah could have hosted this year.
Oprah, I think, might have been asked. I think she turned probably it down, too. She doesn't even want to do it now.
No. She wants to be president.
Maybe. I've heard that. So here's the thing. There's all these people that were asked. Eddie Murphy turned it down.
Did he?
Eddie Murphy was the first person they asked after Kevin Hart quit.
Really? I didn't know.
He turned it down.
Yeah.
He's turned it down multiple times, by the way. Because he was supposed to host it a few years ago.
He had his big star. He had his days.
Well, I mean, Eddie Murphy doesn't have his days.
He
doesn't need. He's got other things. No. He's got projects. They're going to do.
What about Conan?
Conan, yeah. I don't know if he would. But he might have taken the gig.
No.
There's actually
Ricky Gervais and all those comedians. They don't want to do that.
Well, I think anybody that hosted the Golden Gloves would have been a Golden Gloves.
They want to be on the Golden Gloves.
The Golden Globes.
Or
anyone that got a Golden Glove would be great, too. But,
yeah.
But the Golden Globes.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I think he's had a Golden Glove. But he would have had to host it from the grave. He would have been a hologram of Michael Jackson.
Well, what's the difference?
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you myself from the dead.
Myself.
To host the deadest award show known to man. I cannot even from the grave, I can't bring this show back to life. Anyway, so David Letterman tried to bring the show back to life.
Right.
And he got blowback for the show being too stupid. And he did stupid human tricks on stupid pet tricks on the show. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I forget.
It's been a while.
Okay.
He did a top 10 list. He did all the shows.
What is the year of it? 2019?
95.
That's 67th. I mean, how many are we up to?
Oh, gosh.
It's the 90th version.
Is it 90th?
I think so.
I think you might be right. Hmm. So anyway, David Letterman tried to do something fun. Then a few years ago, they got Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy.
Yeah.
And he tried to do kind of the first person since Letterman that's tried to really kick the doors open and do something a little experimental and kind of funny and outrageous.
Yeah. Right.
He did these musical comedy jingles.
Right.
And it's the stuff he's known for, the comedy, the type of comedy he's known for. And again, it got criticized.
Sure.
Neil Patrick Harris comes on and does it.
Right.
He gets criticized. He's
sure.
Multi-talented.
They get criticized.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah.
So then Jimmy Kimmel hosted for a couple of years.
I think he's good.
Now, he does a very just safe,
uh-huh,
Nothing experimental.
Why not keep with him? Yeah.
Nothing too crazy.
One crazy thing brings all those people from across the street from Denny's.
Okay. Well, he did do that.
That was funny.
Now, he did okay. Yeah. He didn't get, like, ripped apart.
No, he won't.
But here's the thing. The ratings still weren't spectacular with Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, are you really working toward the ratings? It is a Hollywood thing. Why should they even care other than...
ABC, the network, cares.
Yeah, because of the money.
The ratings aren't making up for...
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. It's an award show. It doesn't have to work. It's not like you're... Are you going to criticize the rocket going to NASA? You're not going to do that.
I think in 20 years
from now... You're lucky it gets off the ground.
I think 20 years from now, the show won't even be on network TV anymore.
It'll be on internet.
It'll be on internet and maybe on cable.
And they'll just, you know... They'll just stream it.
They'll stream it.
And it'll be on your phone. Oh, yeah.
And people will still... Some people, maybe it's a good movie. I don't know. I don't know. I'll watch it. I'll pause it and go over to a YouTube video for a second.
That's exactly what's around. It's the disruption of the Oscars.
Is it the beginning of the end?
I think it is.
For the Oscars the way we know it.
It is.
Because nobody
wants to host. And usually they were clamoring to be it. And I think Billy Crystal and all of late, you know... They were the ones that wanted to come on and do it, and they had great shows and great jokes.
Billy had a good run.
He did.
He's had a great run.
I think that was as good as any. And I think he was trying to emulate Bob Hope in a lot of that too. He would make jokes about the Bob Hope of the time period.
Yes, I agree. He was hosting. Mm-hmm. He became the new Bob Hope.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people that lobbied to do it, they didn't go out and get. Like another one example is the comedian Ken Young, okay. Dr. Ken, the comedian who was in the Hangover Hangover movies.
Yeah,
he wanted to do it.
Well, he was suggested
by a couple people, and then he said, "Yeah, you damn right, I would come in and take over and host."
But he wants to do funny jokes.
They didn't want him. They didn't get him. They didn't go out and get him. Okay, you have all these great hosts that have hosted the Golden Globes. Why haven't they not hired a Tina Fey with Amy Poehler?
I think Tina has some issues with Saturday Night Live, and she's a Channel 36. She's an NBC.
She's
lady.
An NBCer.
Yeah,
you think it might be her relationship with NBC.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. You got to consider
they can cross over though because you see Ryan Seacrest. He was doing Fox, and then he was over at NBC, and then he's over at ABC.
Yeah,
he bounces around.
Well, he's all over. But I think maybe her comedy is a little edgy for them.
ABC wants to bland it down, make it bland. Well, that's what they need.
We don't want edgy like Ricky.
Okay. You need the edgy comedy. You need the stuff that keeps people on their toes for the seats at home.
I'll agree.
Okay. The people in the audience might not respond well to
it. They sweat nickels.
That's the problem. But that's why they need to go the route of the Golden Globes and make it a dining room experience.
Uh-huh.
With beer and liquor.
I want that liquor.
And you got to get them drunk and loosened up.
And
like
maybe
they
even
and
they then, can smoke some pot in there.
Too. Sure, it's legal in California.
Yeah.
Have a pot, a big pot party. At the Oscars.
Right.
They're all on meds anyway,
so they might as well.
Oh, absolutely.
That'll tie them down.
Have a pot vendor at the Oscars. You could have a pot sponsor.
Well, they could do it outside with trailers. You know,
you could even have Willie Nelson do the introduction.
Now Willie would have been a great host.
Maybe 20 years ago, I don't know if he would.
He's got bathroom breaks.
Actually, you know what? I think Willie would have been better than no host.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
Well, 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
I don't know if he has the energy.
No,
to do
he doesn't.
The full, that's a lot
no,
of hours.
He's got 5 minutes.
But he could come in and do a few minutes and then leave and then come out and do another.
Well,
they could podcast him in.
They could. He could be in his wheelchair.
I don't think he needs a wheelchair, does he?
No, he doesn't, but I'm saying, you know.
No, you know what?
Wheel him out.
I like the Willie Nelson idea.
Willie out.
The more I think about it, I'm liking the Willie idea.
Okay. There you go.
In Willie, I trust.
I think we need a Texan up there.
Well, sure.
How about
Matthew McConaughey?
Why not?
He could have been a fun host.
Well, he doesn't.
He's quirky.
Yeah.
He does the Lincoln car commercials, which, by the way, he doesn't really drive a Lincoln.
No, he doesn't.
You've seen these commercials, haven't you?
Right, I have.
They're funny.
They're just funny.
Why are they so silly?
Because he wants to do a little comedy routine, and he wants to shoot it in Austin.
Some of these commercials make no sense, though.
No, they don't have to.
It's him going,
But they got eyeballs on the screen.
And then he's like sitting and looking out a window for an hour.
People are just watching it because
he's in it. It's a whole commercial, him looking out a window.
Okay, let's go on to the...
Driving his car and looking out
on the
window.
That's not the Oscars. Let's go.
Okay.
Go.
But Matthew...
But he could have done it.
I like Matthew
He could have done it.
He would have been good. Matthew McConaughey would have been good. Sandra Bullock would have been a good idea for a host.
These people don't want to because they think it locks them into not making movies.
Why do it? Why would Sandra Bullock want to host it, get ridiculed the next day, ripped apart, and then it affect her next movie?
It'll affect her next movie. That's what they worry about.
She worries...
But if you're on a TV host like Letterman... It's not going to affect your TV show.
It hurt Letterman for a while because he had to deal with all the blowback from it, but eventually he just made
it. What about Jimmy Fallon?
He made it a joke.
Jimmy Fallon.
Somebody that doesn't have anything to lose is the person.
Jimmy Fallon. He's got a TV show. He could do it.
Yeah, I mean, he could do it, but does he want the blowback for doing a terrible job? Does he want that to affect him?
It doesn't.
The reason why Jimmy Fallon's not going to get the job is because he's at NBC.
Right.
And they don't want a competitor to Jimmy Kimmel.
That's correct.
To come over to their network and do...
But that would be fun.
Same reason Stephen...
Maybe both of them could do it.
Same reason Stephen Colbert won't get... So back in the day when Carson would host it...
Right.
They didn't have a late night talk show on ABC.
Right.
So it was no big deal to bring him over.
Right.
It wasn't like Ted Koppel was worried about Carson coming over.
I think Carson did a good run too.
Because the only competition Carson had at ABC at the time was Ted Koppel.
Right.
Nightline. And Ted Koppel didn't really care. He didn't care.
Here.
But Jimmy Kimmel
and even ABC didn't care.
But Jimmy Kimmel might have something to say about Jimmy.
But did
Fallon,
NBC really own it at that time? I don't know who owned it.
Actually,
maybe CBS.
I think it was. Well, NBC had it for years.
Okay,
and then it went to ABC.
Okay,
but I think it was already at ABC.
But that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, today everything's going to be on the internet anyway, and nobody cares about where it is.
Okay, going backwards.
Okay.
Who was the greatest Oscar host? Was it Bob Hope?
Yeah.
Billy Crystal, Ellen. Was it somebody else?
It was Bob Hope and Billy Crystal.
Those are your two all-time.
Those are the ones I remember. They had a good run.
They were...
Carson.
Billy Crystal.
Carson is too.
Carson's
because
His hosting.
He hosted a lot.
His hosting and MC capabilities were like no other. So Billy Crystal...
I mean, if you have to have a host, these are the ones you want to have.
There's some people that were just born to do some certain things, okay? Denzel Washington, born to be an actor.
Right.
Freddie Mercury, born to be a singer.
Right. And they don't want to deviate because their managers and their agents say it might ruin your ability to get more gigs if you want to continue as a filmmaker, actor.
Billy Crystal, born
to... Or a performer.
Billy Crystal, born to be an award show host. He was the best at it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he made several movies, too.
Oh, he was great. He's a great comedian.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. But when it comes to hosting award shows, no one...
He was great.
No one mastered the art of it better.
I think so.
Because he started off doing Grammys.
Right.
And he did such a good job on the Grammys. The Oscars was like, you come over. We want you to come over.
That's right.
Because at the time...
It's a job.
That was the promotion. Mm-hmm. Was the highest job in the land for an award show host was to get the Oscars gig.
Right. And now I see that nobody wants it.
Once you get that job, you start off doing the little shows. You get a Grammys or you host the American Music Awards, and then you do those.
Or the MTV Awards.
Or the MTV
Awards. Ariana.
Right. One of those. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, Ariana could have done it.
You know who Ariana is?
No, I don't.
How did you know the name?
Huh? Ariana's a singer.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, Ariana Grande. Okay.
I ordered an Ariana Grande at Starbucks the other day.
Oh,
Grande. That was bad. I'm gonna cut that.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know. I might.
Come on, let's get on with the show. We got all these categories we got to go through.
Bob,
right?
Okay, Bob Hope.
Let's get through the category. Oh, you got that.
This is the old NBC.
Wow, what the
Live,
zoom.
The 47th
Look how long the intro Awards took back then.
Well, we didn't have internet.
The award show floating in the air. The award floating in the air.
I love it.
This is the plaza, the music center in
See, it was all big in presentation.
It looks rainy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is rainy.
Oh, they said in the rain. It rained a few years ago, and whenever it rains, they have to put up these awnings and tents.
Oh, yeah.
And they still walk the red carpet, but they're under a tent.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Personalities is NBC's Kelly Lang.
And there's Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire nominated for Best Supporting Actor tonight.
Supporting
and
Actor?
Ladd,
what was that for?
Best Supporting Actress. There's
he won.
Art Carney.
For Best Actor.
For I can't remember the movie, but Tonto and
Wow, those are the
John Wayne.
John Wayne,
man, that's it.
She's nominated for Best
Well, actress. They had more respect back then, I think.
She's in the Four Musketeers. And Jack. He's nominated for Best Actor this year.
Oh, man, Jack.
Jack showing up with his hat turned to the back. Jack was a rebel.
Yeah, he was.
He's a rebel.
He was great. Did he get it for Psycho? I mean, the
Shining?
Shining.
He got One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, Cuckoo. Okay, that was the year.
Never won an Oscar. There's the Bridges family. Jeff Bridges is not.
Jeff Bridges. He finally got one.
The whole Bridges.
Yeah, all of them.
Behind him, Jennifer O'Neill and Donald Brooks, white floor length, Arnell Crate, and.
Look at that. Man, they just went right to it.
The red carpet went by faster back then.
Right.
Because now it's like they have to stop everyone and to ask them, who are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
Who are you doing?
Who are you doing?
And what are you doing?
Who cares?
That we can get on Twitter and make fun of you about.
Who cares? Yeah. That's what the problem is. Nobody cares anymore.
But they take so
There's
long.
There's no anticipation for the movie. Okay?
The red carpet's more popular than the actual award
Tell
show.
Tell me, what's the big movie that you had anticipation for this year?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, you know, Black Panther.
Black Panther, sure.
You had Black Panther. Everybody wanted to go see that. And now they're expecting it to win.
I don't think that's going to win.
It's not going to win.
I said
Green Book.
Green Book's going to win. Okay, so you told me before.
Or Black Klansman, I'm not sure. Black Klansman
could be an
upset. It could, but it's controversial because, you know.
So Kirk has a formula that he believes like contributes to who wins the Oscars every year.
Right. When they're going to start right out with the best supporting actress. And it's usually somebody that's struggling.
They always start with that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they know that they're fresh right off the gate. And it's usually the last year's supporting actor that is going to present it.
Yeah.
And it will probably be a couple that comes out. I'm not sure how it's going to run. But my formula is that it's somebody that is new in the film, has no prior awards, even in the Screen Actors Award or anything like that. But the film did well, and it's not a blockbuster. And I just have that feeling that something like that will be new.
Yeah.
A new actress on the plane.
Yeah, you think it's a way to roll out and introduce
and
somebody
and
new.
It's also to encourage them to go on in the business, because a lot of people just do one thing and then they disappear after about three films after that fact, because they want more money.
What's the next play? You said in the formula that there's always a thing where they won't give someone the award 2 years in a row. Is that what it
is?
Yeah,
that's rare.
It's rare, except for Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. maybe Tom Cruise.
Meryl Streep.
Well, she had a big run. She had 21 without winning, and then she won.
She's won.
I think she won. She won for Out of Africa, didn't she?
Is that her first one?
Yeah, I think that was her first one.
Yeah, and then she was out of the gates by that point.
No, Kramer versus Kramer, and then Out of Africa.
Yeah, and then it was off and running for her after
that. Yeah, and 18 later nominations. It's insane.
Off and running.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a political game, though, isn't it?
It is a political game.
Because
it's all reputation. It's not, I keep harping on that.
Reputation has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, tons of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they want the studio that made it. I got my t-shirt, my sweatshirt says
Universal
Studios has 400 nominations. That's why I wore this.
Wow.
400 nominations over 75 years. Now there are probably many, many more.
I do have a question, if we're going to agree or disagree, that has to do with the political game in the Oscars and how it's played.
Yeah.
Or not played. Okay, I'm going to go down the list and I'm going to have you tell me who's going to win and why.
Let's do that. Now, you're going to have to come back on your next show after that and say, Kirk was totally wrong.
To see. Okay.
But usually, now, the year of the Titanic, I got pretty much real close to every one of them.
Okay, I'm terrible at these usually, I'm going to see how you do. Actor in a leading role.
Okay.
The nominees are Christian Bale for Vice, who is where he played Dick Cheney.
Right.
Very good job.
Very good.
He's a great actor.
Excellent.
Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born, which, by the way, he also directed that film.
Right, and they snuffed him on that one.
William Dafoe in Eternity's Gate.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win, but he should have won last year.
A real huge new up-and-coming star is Rami Malek.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to win.
Bohemian Rhapsody. You told me the Green Book guy would get it.
No, he's already has his.
That's why you don't think he
I don't think he's going
to
get it.
So you think it's Remy.
He's already I think it's Remy.
Because of your idea that they don't like to give it to
you. They don't want to give it. They want to encourage them to continue on in this business.
So Kirk says Remy Malek, actor in a supporting role. We have Mahershala Ali for Green Book.
He already won last year.
Okay.
Can't be him.
So you don't think it'll be him?
No.
Adam Driver, Black Klansman. Sam Elliott.
He is too much Star Wars.
Sam Elliott, A Star is Born.
But the movie's wrong. But yes, Sam Elliott should get it.
Because he's like the old guy who hasn't ever won, so they like to give it to them sometimes. To give him kind of a...
And I'm thinking it's going to be Sam.
Sam Rockwell. Vice. Sam Rockwell voice. Vice.
And what's that other one?
Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, it's between those guys.
Between Richard E. Grant
Richard
and Sam Rockwell?
And Sam, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make you pick
because
one.
I'm going to go with Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, okay. Yeah. Actress in a leading role.
Okay. It's not going to be Meryl Streep.
Yalitza Aparicio.
Yeah.
Glenn Close. That's another one.
Well, it's the wrong movie. She should have won last year.
Olivia Colman, The Favorite.
Yeah, Olivia.
Lady Gaga, A Star is Born.
She's going to win for the song.
You don't think she gets for the actress?
It's tough.
Melissa McCarthy.
I don't think she's so big. She's already got so many awards. No.
Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
She's a comedian out of water. I think, yes, she could win.
So you think?
But I don't think it's going to be Glenn Close.
You think Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah. What's the top one there?
And you're basing a lot of this on your formula.
Yeah, my formula.
Okay.
They want the newcomer. Somebody that's out of...
Yalitza Aparicio.
In?
Roma.
That's the one.
That's the one?
Yeah.
That's the newcomer?
Roma.
Actress in a supporting role.
Okay. This is the one that they will come out with. Very well. Amy Adams already has one. She doesn't get it.
No Marina Da Tavira, hopefully I'm getting the name
in
right.
Roma.
Okay. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, yeah, she could.
You know, she started off.
Now, all these others have already gotten it. You know, Emma Stone has one.
Yeah.
You know, Rachel Weisz has one. No, I think it's going to be Roma.
Marina Dave.
Because they want to encourage, okay? Amy Adams already has one, okay? They already have enough nominations. They want to encourage the new person. That's why I have that formula.
You know, Regina King.
Especially in the supporting actress. Mm-hmm. Trust me, man. It's always that way because the Academy is voting this way.
Animated feature film, The Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs.
I saw that.
I think this is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that'll win.
That movie was so
I didn't see
innovative
it, but I could tell.
And beautiful and just interesting. It kept me.
I think it's a cartoon.
Held my interest. Okay, this is one you should have a lot of interest in, cinematography.
Cinematography usually goes to a costume film.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's going to be The Favorite.
Yeah.
You know, they won't do it for... they could. Roma won for a cinematographer in the Golden Globes. He won for all... He
right.
got all the big ones. Right. And I don't think Star is Born, because that's just a generic shoot-em-up film. It's always a costume drama.
Is it costume dramas?
Cinematographer, because they worry about sets and costume, and the cinematography usually goes that way.
Like, they have to get it right.
Yeah.
Because they're filming something that has to look like it gets...
Exactly.
It gets what it deserves.
Uh-huh.
It gets through to the audience.
And the only thing that pisses me... I think The Favorite's going to get that because it is a costume drama, and that's... or comedy, whatever it is. It's going to win.
Costume design. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Panther, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, or Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh, that's a tough one. It's usually Mary Queen of Scots or The Favorite. Those are two English. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, those are the ones that costumes tend to go to.
Oh, yeah.
Directing, Black Klansman, Spike Lee, Cold War, Paul Lukowski, The Favorite, Yorgos Lanthimos, Roma, Alfonso.
Well, now Alfonso
Cuarón
already won for the Golden Globes, but I'm kind of rooting for Spike Lee because he hasn't won one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a tougher one.
Well, Roma already got the Golden Globes, so you got all those people online.
You're right.
But, you know, Vice could win.
Documentary, Free Solo. Is that a story of Han Solo?
Imprisoned
by Jabba the Hutt?
It could be.
Hale County this morning, this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Minding the Gap. of Fathers and Sons and RBG. That's,
I think, what's RBG?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the judge.
Oh, I see.
But the judge. Mm-hmm. I don't know as much about that category this year.
I think it's going to be Minding the what?
Minding the Gap.
What's it about?
I don't know. Huh? I'm going to go with Free Solo because I think Star Wars fans will be crazy.
Yeah, they'll just go to that.
Because of the name, Free Solo.
Okay.
Jabba had him in prison.
Jabba the Hutt.
Okay. So, film editing. Okay. Let's look at that one. Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Vice.
I'm going with Green Book.
Now, why so?
Well, I think it could be the Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. I think it could be Bohemian Rhapsody, but those are generic things.
Because music films, biopics especially, the editing is very important.
Right.
Because you're trying to condense a whole person's life into two hours.
And that happens with Vice and The Green Book. So,
that's
a makeup thing. Vice is a makeup. It will win. It will absolutely win for makeup. But for this, I don't know.
I'm going to go with, because I don't think Bohemian's going to win for the major categories. Mm-hmm. I think they're
going
to give
going with the Green Book because they like that bootstrapping, you know.
This is the one category I'll chime in on.
What are you going to go for?
I think Bohemian Rhapsody. John Ottman. Okay. Yeah. Isn't John Ottman kind of a really high known commodity in film editing world?
Could be.
He probably is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, for you.
Foreign language film should be Roma.
It should be.
But it's not there, is it?
No, it's on there.
Oh, it's on there. Okay, that's the one that's going to win.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It already won the Golden Globes.
And so is Cold War.
It already won the Golden Globes.
Yeah. So is Cold War.
Oh, okay.
It's nominated for a foreign language film.
Okay.
All right. Now, Kirk, you've been nominated to answer these agree or disagree questions. Yeah,
disagree with them all.
On this 90th episode of the Thunder Pop. Kirk-O-Matic, number one. Mm-hmm. So there's a new crossover that's going to be there. It's in production right now. It's Batman versus.
Oh, really?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
God.
This is the animated.
Is that a real thing?
It's an animated movie.
Now, by Michael Bay?
It's based off of comic books from the 90s. So this is actually going to happen. It's going to be a team up between DC and Nickelodeon for the crossover.
Right.
Which is huge news for fans of Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I hate both of them.
This will be the first time that I thought you liked Batman.
Oh, I like Batman. Is it going to be a live action?
No, it's cartoon.
No.
This will be the first time the characters have appeared on screen together, but not the first time that they had crossed paths, because this is based on a miniseries that was in comics.
Yeah.
It made its debut in 2015, so not that long ago.
Okay.
If this is a success of high levels, do you agree that we will get more crazy crossovers like this in the future, like G.I. Joe meets the Transformers?
Right.
Or Star Wars teams up with the Avengers?
Yeah. I don't like that trend.
Do you think this is going to be a trend?
I don't like the trending. It's trending right now.
Do you agree that it's going to be a trend?
I think it's going to become a trend, but I don't like it.
The crossovers.
So is that a disagreement?
You agree that it's going to happen.
I agree that it's going to happen.
You agree it's going to happen, but you disagree with it.
I don't like it.
Yeah. No, why not?
Because you're mashing together two icons that you're just trying to sell Coca-Cola to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I think those heroes should stand alone.
Yeah.
Those standalone heroes. I mean, that's crossing over Jabba the Hutt with Captain Badass. Would you like that? No, you don't.
That would be kind of funny.
Be funny, but over the top. But that means you can mix. Oh gosh,
if he sat John, on if
John,
he was sitting
John
on...
Wayne with the Urban Cowboy or penguins, marching penguins with the SpongeBob.
I want to see that. I like that pitch.
You want the marching penguins
you didn't like
with SpongeBob.
You didn't like years ago when they used to do these TV crossovers, like when they had Magnum P.I. on Murder, She Wrote?
Just doing mashups like Lucy on the, you know.
Well, like when Mork came on Happy Days. Did you watch that?
Yes,
speaking of Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
You didn't love that?
No, I like that.
So what was?
But that's fine.
What's the difference there?
They weren't heroes in that category of comics.
They're heroes
and that was a TV universe.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's for only one show. It's not a motion picture that you're going to sit through.
Well, I think this is going to be a made-for-TV animated movie.
Oh, it is. It's not.
It's not going to be in the theaters.
Oh, it's not in theaters.
No.
Oh, okay. Then I'll.
But if it gets, but if it gets a lot of buzz and is a huge success, then the movies could be next. Well, the
movies always are next. Yeah. Movies are always up there. Yeah.
Scooby Doo used to do a lot of crossovers.
Yeah, Scooby Doo is the master.
They had Don Knotts. Yeah. They had who? Kiss was on. Was Kiss on Scooby Doo?
Boy, you got me. Is Scooby Doo on the Star Wars gang too?
Did they ever have the Incredible Hulk on Scooby Doo?
I don't know, man. I don't watch cartoons.
The Addams Family.
What happened to the cartoons?
They had the Addams Family on Scooby Doo. Did they not?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to hunt through that castle.
Yeah.
When are they going to bring back Woody Allen and Scooby Doo?
They also had Adam West on Scooby Doo.
Adam West.
They had Aloha Scooby.
Aloha Scooby.
They said it's evil tikis as a warning. They came and they took Snooki.
Are you sure she was kidnapped?
Snooki.
Well, Snooki's no rocket scientist, but she definitely knows.
Is this the Jersey Shore meets the Scooby?
Is this Jersey Shore?
I think this is Snooki.
Is this what's happened to Saturday morning cartoons? You can just get them anytime now. Is that what you do? You watch Scooby Doo on the
internet? Hold on. I'm watching Jersey Shore meets Scooby Doo.
Our duly elected mayor, who got 51% of the votes. I have opened the contest to include everyone this year.
Yeah, and now Snooki's going to be sacrificed to the Tiki Snooki. Spirit.
Oh, Manu, you and your colorful island stories, Tiki Spirit, sacrifices...
Snooki meets Scooby-Doo? Snooki, Snooki, Scooby-Doo?
I'm sure that you've heard that...
I don't know. I don't know if that's a Snooki they're talking about.
Bringer.
Now, who's this guy? Is this a new character?
Yeah, it must be.
Must be a new character. Look at, what's her name, Veronica?
Veronica from the Addams Family.
No, what's his character's Veronica. What's his character's name?
I don't know.
Who is
I don't
that?
Watch that show.
They got sexier with the girls' costumes.
Lately.
On the new Scooby-Doos.
On the new Scooby-Doo.
She's showing a lot of belly there. Okay.
Maybe
all right.
She's pregnant.
All right, getting to our second agree or disagree. God. Number two. Okay, so we were talking about the politics of the Oscars. Comedian Monique, okay. She was on the Steve Harvey Show recently, and what happened was there was a Monique and Steve Harvey, they clashed on camera over her claims that she was shut out of Hollywood after winning an Academy Award
right.
in 2010.
I believe it.
During an interview on Harvey's talk show, yeah. Steve Harvey's talk show, on Wednesday, the 51-year-old comedian and actress said she and her husband and manager, Sidney Hicks, got labeled as difficult. So what right. happened? What happened? I don't even know the backstory, but what happened was in 2010, she was nominated for Precious for playing the mom.
Right.
She wins Best Oscar.
Right.
Now, the problem what happened was she refused to campaign to win.
For the movie.
She was asked to campaign.
You have to go on those junkets.
They wanted her.
That's in your contract.
Yeah, she was asked to do it by the producer,
mm-hmm.
the director,
right,
and Oprah Winfrey, who was also involved in the film. So Oprah, Tyler Perry, Lee Daniels,
mm-hmm.
who all worked on the movie,
yeah.
had all asked her to campaign, and she refused to do it.
Right.
So when she goes up to, she wins the Oscar without campaigning.
Right.
She goes up to accept the Oscar.
What does she say?
She said she would like to thank everyone for the Oscar,
mm-hmm.
and she also wants Oprah, Lee Daniels, and Tyler Perry to suck her dick.
She said that?
She says that.
On the Oscars?
They might have bleeped it out.
Of course they did.
Because they're on tape delay. You know they're on delay.
I know that.
That's why they're on delay, is for stuff like
it's
that.
Because of that.
She said that, and then since then, she's claimed
Well, you're going to be blackballed.
She's been blackballed. Now, Steve Harvey said that he couldn't do anything for her because she had burned too many bridges at
Too many bridges.
He said that on TV.
I'll believe that.
Here's her talking about it with Steve Harvey.
Oh, that's terrible.
To go. Let's go.
Let's go.
You started getting labeled as difficult.
Yes.
Why do you believe that happened? And do you see that changing and why?
I got labeled as difficult. My husband and I, and my husband is Sydney, who happens to be my manager. We got labeled as difficult because I said one word, and that was no. Now, I said no to some very powerful people. Mm-hmm. I said no to Oprah Winfrey. I said no to Tyler Perry. I said no to Lee Daniels. And I said no to Lionsgate. And the difficulty came in when people that look like me, like Oprah, Tyler, Lee Daniels, and I got to put my brother Steve on the list. Y'all knew I was not wrong. Each one of you said to me, Monique, you're not wrong. And when I heard you go on the air and you said, my sister done burnt too many bridges, and there's nothing I can do for her now. Steve, do you know how hurt I was?
Simone, now let me give you this. Because you and I had this conversation, mm-hmm. I thought you went about it wrong. Mm-hmm. See, I felt that you had done yourself a disservice mm-hmm. by the way you chose to go about it.
Tell me how I went about it.
I was cool with you, with your deal with Netflix. Mm-hmm. I was cool with you. The two problems that we had, mm-hmm. number one, the boycott of Netflix,
yes.
we never gave people a point of action. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we're going to boycott, are we going to not get subscriptions? Are we going to turn it off? Are we going to go down there and get signs?
So she had some issue with Netflix, too, where she was asking people to boycott Netflix.
Right.
Separate deal. But it goes along with her having a supposed reputation now for being difficult. Now, right. here's the thing. She says no to campaigning.
Right.
She still wins the Oscar.
Yeah.
Does that prove, do you agree or disagree, does that prove by her winning without campaigning that you can win an Oscar without playing the political game?
That's right.
Do you agree with that?
I agree with it.
So why is it that people that politic...
Like I say, it's a very reputational business.
Yeah.
And this sideline stuff of managers and agents and studios mm-hmm. insists that you go out on these junkets.
They
this
do.
Is a world that you and
they
I don't know about.
They want you to go out and campaign.
It. You have to campaign this stuff.
To get not, they want you to campaign.
No, it's because that sells more stock in that company. And she refused to do that. And then she's going to get what a reputation of not... being difficult.
Yeah.
And that is the game. When you get into this game, they don't have a class on teaching you how to be famous.
No.
And they don't teach you all the back story stuff. But let me tell
Mona
you,
Lee
when you get into that game, you play the game and you follow the rules until you're a Tom Hanks, and then you can laugh at the bank. But you're not that big.
Mm-hmm.
So get with it. Until you get to the big boys, A-listers yeah. like Tom Hanks
yeah.
and Spielberg, then you can't laugh. You can't say no. You have to follow the rules. And the rules are that you go out on these junkets. No, I'm saying the performance. I'm saying performance-wise, she won the Oscar fair and square.
Right.
And she just basically said, no, I'm not going to go out on these junkets.
That's why she doesn't want to campaign is because she right. feels like she wants to get it on her...
On her own.
On her talent.
On her merit. But her let merit. Me tell you something. The machine out there in Hollywood is not about the singular actor winning for that performance.
Right.
You're lucky to get to that point.
Yeah.
Because look at all the marketing and the push that it as her, as an actress... To get to that point to be in that movie and give that performance. She is extremely lucky. Look at all the 10 years of work that it took to get her to that set. So the least that you can do.
If not more.
If not more. Yeah. Most of the time it takes 20 years of the trenches and getting down there and being a grunt in the movie business. I can tell you from my own experiences,
yeah.
it takes a long haul. No one gets it overnight like Bieber.
Yeah, I know. Even people that like make it in their early 20s,
right.
they probably have been working on it since they were like nine.
They did a study. Mm-hmm. On average, even Ariana Grande, even Bieber, all were doing it for 10 years.
10 years.
You can yeah. see YouTube.
They started you when they were really young.
Their parents are encouraging them to be rocket sciences and motocross. You can look at anyone that's famous on the plateau, and you can see that they have 10 years of experience before they get to that point.
Before they get to that point. Mm-hmm. They started really early.
Of the big fame. Yeah. I'm talking about the big fame.
The big fame.
You owe it to those studios, and you owe it to your managers and mm-hmm. agents to do the little junket for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that is not self-serving, but in the long run, you will get more work. And that's what really counts.
That means I need 6 more years of podcasting.
That's right. You need 6 more years of content.
I can get
no. You've got at least 6 years of Captain Badass. That counts.
That counts.
That all counts in the entertainment industry. Okay.
So
you could hit it any time.
It's still training on the job. It's training on the job still.
No, you're ready right now.
Accumulating. Yeah.
You could do it now.
It's accumulative.
I think you're ready.
So you're talking about how they don't have a class for like being famous.
They don't have a class, and they will not teach you that. In the studio so system of the Golden Age, so they did. They know
that.
You go out and you act and you follow these rules and you don't do any of this nasty stuff.
Etiquette.
It's very.
They taught you Hollywood etiquette.
Oh yes, they do.
Yeah.
They bring you into the office and they say, "Now, you're going to follow our rule."
So, like at the actor's studio, they don't teach this stuff.
Not until you're big. Mm-hmm. It's your manager and your agent starts suggesting.
Yes. Yeah.
And you will follow that rule if you want to continue to work.
So when Bradley Cooper went to the actor studio and trained,
right.
They didn't give him a class in the business.
No, only in
marketing.
Being,
marketing.
Oh, only marketing yourself as an actor.
Right.
And but you want to be an actor.
But not what to do once you get famous.
If right.
You, not how
he, to, wasn't, he wasn't yeah. ready.
That you have to lean on your
And you know it took him 10 years to get to the sniper. American
yeah.
Sniper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it took him 10 years. Every Absolutely. One of these actors.
At least. Well, he was working pretty young.
Yes.
But here's the thing. You have to lean towards your agent, your business manager, mm-hmm. your publicist for that.
Then the studio will come in and say, "Now you must go on this junket because we have a written contract with you to follow
around." Yeah, absolutely.
It gets a nomination, you must follow this rule.
Well, okay, when they talk about campaign...
Specific, man. It says specifically in your contract that you will follow this rule. You can't say no.
No.
And once you say no, guess what? You won't get work.
So here's the thing. When they're talking about campaigning, is it campaigning also to get the nomination? Not just...
Oh, that's true. Yes, it is on the... This whole... all this page spread
just
out...
Just to get nominated.
They have these full spreads... Mm-hmm. These full spreads for movies in the New York Times
right.
are promo.
Yeah.
For not only the studio but the actor. And they pay thousands of dollars for these full spread.
Kirk has got an actual real newspaper he's
yes.
brought.
Yeah, Arts and Leisure. Everybody in New York reads it. It's the New York Times.
It's good stuff.
You have to promote the studio, you have to promote your director, you have to promote your producers. That's what the whole award system is.
Yeah.
Unless you're too tired of it and you win for The Godfather and you can send somebody else to pick up the Oscar because you're so big. And that is Marlon Brando. So you're no Marlon Brando.
You like The Godfather, right?
Great. Sure. It's great. It's a great movie.
One, two. You saw three.
I saw one.
You saw two?
I saw two.
You saw.
I don't think I saw three.
You didn't see three?
No.
Okay.
I may have seen it in a package deal, but it kind of dithered away. I like number one. It's the best one.
The one's the best one?
Yeah.
Better than two?
Marlon Brando.
Two had the flashback stuff.
Yeah.
Where they do a part of the movie is flat in the past. And.
But know, I'm just saying.
You know they're doing they're doing a Sopranos prequel.
Oh, really? Well, that'll be interesting.
And what's his name? The James Gandolfini? His son's going to play him as younger.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, as a kid.
Well, they can do that, you see.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. You have to understand, they're out to make product, and you're just nothing but product. So I don't see anything wrong with helping that system. If you join that system, you got to be a part of that and play along.
It's part of it.
A part of it.
You're in a business.
You're in that industry. You may not think you are. You just think you're just one simple actor or actress in this movie. It's not that way. You're not an independent anymore. You have to follow the rules.
Well, you're in a business.
Yeah, you're in a business.
It's part of a business.
And that's part of the business.
You've opened your store for business.
That's right.
Your store.
And let me tell you, your store is always open for business.
Yeah.
You always have to be up. That's why she's on that show.
You can go on vacation.
A lot more than most people.
Yeah. So I got the third question. It stays in the same similar topic about politics and the entertainment industry, but it involves kind of a crossover with political, with actual government.
Right.
Okay. So, and it's local. It's local centric. Okay. So, Texas, we're in the state of Texas.
Right. We're in the state of Texas, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it'd be awful. It'd be weird if we weren't. Do you agree that the Texas film and music industry, the growth is sometimes stagnated by outside interests that are greasing the palms of Texas politicians to regulate it to keep it from growing? And the reason why, let me explain that question, okay? So, in the 90s, Texas film was expanding rapidly.
Yeah, they called it the Third Coast.
Yeah. And production was going on.
Booming.
Booming like crazy in this city that we're in.
Yep.
Not just statewide.
Right.
The Texas Film Commission was rapidly
getting... They were up into the $250 million range, yeah.
Super busy.
Busy.
Mm-hmm. And then something happened. It hit a wall.
Right. And then we had to make these incentives.
In the 2000s.
And that becomes political.
We lost a lot of stuff to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Who had the tax incentives.
Uh-huh. Shreveport.
Then Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Also New
Atlanta is big today.
Well, now, at first it was Texas. Then it went
Vancouver.
Then it went to Louisiana.
Vancouver because of the X-Files.
And then it went to Georgia.
Yeah.
Now, lately, it's been Georgia.
And Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in the 80s.
Yeah.
The Texas music scene was steamrolling.
Right.
With the Fabulous T-Birds.
Yeah.
ZZ Top.
Sure.
And then something happened there where it seemed like it slowed down.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm asking you is, I was in Hollywood years ago, there was a news story that came on.
Mm.
And it talked about how people in L.A., in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry, were having a rally.
Right.
Because they were trying, because they saw a lot of work leaving.
Right. They're called Runaway Productions.
Leaving Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were having a rally to try to keep the business
there
in Hollywood.
Yeah, because of the unions.
So what I'm asking you is, because of the deep pockets in the entertainment industry in Hollywood,
right,
are there people that it's in their interest to keep the work in their place?
Right.
Do they go to the politicians in other states and say, we'll grease your palms
if you keep it out of your state? Could
and
be.
We'll make, do you agree or
there
disagree
could be,
with that?
I agree. There could be some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually it's on the Republican side. And I see that because they want to take that money that could be used for incentives and packages like that. I don't know if it's outside concerns like California, because they're so indebted to their game to keep all the movies and all the TV there, because they have studios to feed and all these huge budgets to feed.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't know if it gets into politics, but, you know, when Rick Perry was in charge,
he seemed to want to slow it down.
Oh, he loved it. No, he loved it. He brought it all. He brought it all here. He was really,
it was
enriching for the people at the Texas Film Commission.
He brought a lot of tech here. He was big on the tech.
He brought a lot of tech, and he also brought these big, big movies here.
I thought it was
and
more.
He was in love with the movie business.
He was?
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to sleep with part of the problem.
He loved the whole thing. No,
so who was
no.
slowing it down?
It was after the fact, you know, when he went to work for Trump. I think that kind of died out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It is a political game, because they really want to bring these productions to the state.
Yeah.
And keep everybody working.
Yeah.
I mean, and I enjoy a lot of that.
Yeah. Do you think it's slower now?
Oh, it's extremely. I haven't worked on any major thing.
When was the peak? When was the peak? It was about 99, 2000?
Well, lately it was 2014, 12 to 14.
It was a jump.
It was a big jump. They had Leftovers, All-American, American Crime. A lot of TV shows and cable dusted on.
Yeah.
I worked on a lot of things.
What do people like that have, they're really set up for business, like a casting director, say, for example.
Right, casting.
What do they do when it's really slowed? How do they stay?
They teach.
They teach?
They teach you how to do the auditions, not just off your phone and with a camera.
The workshops.
They do a lot of workshops. They do, they have these meetings. They try to promote acting and all that stuff.
Same thing with
it. It's kind of died down because there's not as much background work.
Well,
a lot of big productions. There might be some independent films being made that we don't know that they're developing on their own. Like, you know, you can make a $30,000 or $40,000 independent feature
with money involved in it. Yeah,
with money, a little money of it.
Yeah,
and nobody actors. That's why I'm working on a zombie film. It's a nobody film.
And there's always some YouTube people are trying to produce
a YouTube
show
and web series. Like,
that's big now.
That is,
and that's something that wasn't around 20 years
ago.
And
you don't have to have any union involved. You don't have to have a big production value involved.
There's the documentary people. You've been working on documentaries the last few years.
Yeah. That's right. So, you know, there's always going to be that, because everybody wants to take the chance and risk and have something as a resume material.
So they're going to mortgage the house, or they're going to go and get a loan. They'll do a Kickstarter and get some funding on the internet.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily... there might be a lull in those big productions coming here because of the incentive, But I don't think that that ever stopped real true artists from making their movie. They're going to continue to make their movie regardless.
Yeah.
Because they're addicted to making it. They want to make something. And they live in Austin, Texas.
They want to get their ideas out there.
That's right. It's just like a musician.
Yeah.
They go play for free.
To play a show.
They'll play a show down at the Barracuda for free.
To get
that reputation going and keep it. Oh, yeah, I'll go on tour. I'll rent a van. I'll go on tour.
Well, it's like
the same thing.
I just saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
Okay, so a good example. You've seen this film?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the story. And the thing is, Queen had broke up for a short time.
Right.
And Freddie Mercury was going to go off and do his solo albums.
Right.
Meanwhile, the other musicians are kind of just sitting.
Yeah, they don't have a lead.
They don't have a lead. So they're waiting. They're waiting to see what's going to happen next. And then when they go and they make up, they say, well, you know, we got this Live Aid show.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's a chance to get back out and get in front of a big stadium audience.
That's right.
And they can get going and have a show,
a big splash.
So of course they're going to say they're going to do that.
Yeah,
I mean they did it for the cause too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they wanted to be a part of the biggest show that was at the time.
It was this huge.
I think it's still probably.
Well,
the
they biggest. Didn't have an interview.
Has there been anything bigger than that since it happened? No.
Even Woodshock or something like that.
What has been bigger than
that
since it?
Nothing.
You know.
No. Live Aid?
Fry Festival.
That was at 85.
Fry Festival.
Fry Festival.
You know, maybe Fry Festival was bigger.
It was at Woodstock 99.
You know what the Fried Festival is?
No.
Or is it Fry?
I don't know it.
That was that big disastrous music festival that was on the island turned into a huge
fireball
train wreck.
Oh, really?
Go Google that.
Okay.
There's a lot of entertainment you can have from...
Horrors.
The documentary on that is crazy.
Okay. Well, they had Woodstock 99, didn't they?
They did a new Woodstock, yeah.
But that wasn't... That's a different generation. They didn't have any internet.
Do you know, I heard the original Woodstock is romanticized for being this great event, but I heard in actuality...
It was a mud fest.
It was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
The people that got stuck trying to get there on the roads...
It was insane.
...in the traffic...
Absolutely.
...that were stuck on the road for hours...
But they didn't care.
It didn't matter.
They didn't matter. They were going to something.
Yeah.
That generation was going to see itself, and it mirrored exactly how screwed up it was.
Yeah.
But today, everybody can get together on their little internet, you see?
You didn't go to Woodstock?
I'm not that old.
No.
I was a Texas boy.
You were
a
kid. You were just a little kid.
I went to Willie's July 4th Festival. That was the big thing
You
here.
Went to it back when it was in the early
South
years.
Park and all that.
You've been to an Austin Aqua Festival?
Oh, yeah. I went to several of them.
I know you've been to those.
I skied it.
That used to be the thing.
I water skied in that.
Did you ever do a watercraft? In the competition?
Oh, no. That was... K98 used to put those on.
Because it used to be a thing. People would put their watercraft
together. Uh-huh. I went down and videotaped a couple of them.
And they would have competitions.
Oh, yeah. They did.
And they would judge for the most
And now
outrageous.
It's turned into a ducky affair. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
No, it's too dangerous. Somebody's going to get hurt.
They canceled Aquafest.
Yes, they canceled
years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's too...
I mean...
It's too much to even have fireworks. Come on, man.
Well, how did they manage it back then, and why couldn't it not work now?
Internet.
Why?
Nobody will spend the time to get the babysitter or get on. They can just see everything.
But
they go to some events.
They go to ACL.
Yeah, they go to ACL.
They go to South by Southwest.
Yes, but notice what's in there. Big, huge bands.
Yeah.
That are on tour.
Okay.
Okay. Austin... They were put that Austin Aqua Festival was put on by the Austin JCs to bring business here.
Yeah,
it's over. Every business and their brother wants to live here now.
Yeah,
so they don't need an Aqua Festival.
They don't need it.
I mean, they could do it like a Capital 10K race. Do they have that?
No.
Okay. Where is it now?
Well,
it's
the
Austin Marathon.
They do have the Capital 10K race.
Okay.
Well, the reason why
it's a change in the attitude of the people that are going to do it. That was a baby boomer thing, and I don't think that this new generation, they're not into that.
And South by Southwest, you know that why that was started?
Yeah,
to promote
music and to promote film.
Well, also it was to help stimulate the economy during spring break.
That's
when
right.
All the students would leave
right.
town.
Now, I mean, you know, it was a battle between whether you're going to go down to. Padre Island and party.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new thing now.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing now.
They love to come here.
It's people love to come
and
here.
And that's going to come up soon.
They used to do everything. But the people...
It's a monster moving
into town. Some of the locals still like to get the hell out.
Oh, yeah.
During South By.
Right.
Now they do.
They're renting their Airbnb to those
people. Renting. Do you get the hell out or you like to stay?
I stay.
You're all in.
I am all in.
Yeah, you're all in.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't go to it. No, it's too expensive.
It gets there.
Oh, yeah. It's $1,000.
Yeah. You do the freebie stuff.
Yeah.
You're all in the freebie
stuff. Why not?
I went to their tech fest. The tech part of it a few years ago was really good.
Yeah, all of it is really fun.
Well, I mean, they had the VR.
I mean, they should have you as a podcaster. You should go to some of the podcast shows.
We're going to do it sometime.
Yeah, you should.
We're going to do it. Okay.
Never happen, folks.
It'll never happen.
Yoda.
Never happen. Never, never, ever will.
Never, ever.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it? That's the third question.
Thoughts and
Did I disagree or not?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
All right. Kirk-O-Matic.
Yep.
Thoughts and advice for those asses right now.
There's a few things, about three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. To my family, that's who and what I look forward to. To my father, who I know is up there right now with a big pot of gumbo. He's got a lemon meringue pie over there. He's probably in his underwear, and he's got a cold can of Miller Lite, and he's dancing right now. To you, Dad, you taught me what it means to be a man. To my mother, who's here tonight, who taught me and my two older brothers demanded that we respect ourselves. And what we in turn learned was then we were better able to respect others.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
And there you go. Thoughts and advice for those asses on this 90th episode. And I got Kirk-O-Matic across the table from me. And get this man some sedatives before he comes back to this show.
I'm going to sleep, man. I'll take my nap.
He's wearing a Universal Studios sweatshirt, and he's got a Universal Studios cap.
Got in Florida in 1997 or something like that.
Wow, that cap holds up really well.
It is a brand new.
It's a good quality. It's brand new.
Yeah.
All right. That's amazing. Oh, well, thank you, Kirk.
No.
I'm just kidding. All right, everyone, the stuff was made better quality back then. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give you this good quality now, would they?
No, no.
It's got a suede bill,
mm-hmm.
and it's just
great.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Golden green. It's gold with green
and
beige, Universal Studios cap. Kirk-O-Matic, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
On this 90th episode, a show with a host talking about a show.
About a show that's never going to be on a little.
With no host.
No host. No host on that show.
And by the way,
we'll be watching.
That was another Austin Access show.
Yeah.
The show with no name.
Yeah.
Charlie,
somebody did that.
But it was that was show. Charlie would have been a good host for the Oscars.
Yeah.
He would have been better than no host.
Yeah, he could do it.
He could do it.
Yeah.
But nobody knows.
Well, that's the problem. They could get somebody.
There's so many people they could have got. We named a couple of good ones. I like the Matthew McConaughey idea.
I think that's a great idea.
But he would never have done it.
No, because he still wants to act.
And the Ricky
Gervais. He wants to be a beach bum.
I'll tell you, Ricky Gervais, we didn't talk about him very much, but from the Golden Globes.
But you have to be politically correct.
But he doesn't care, so that's what makes it work, because if you don't care, it doesn't damage you.
Right.
When you care, it seems like it's what damages
you. And he knows he's just a TV producer.
The more you care, the more it damages you.
That's right.
Because the people are going to pounce
on you.
On fear.
And back in the day, they didn't pounce. They didn't heckle.
I think they
Because they couldn't.
I think they used to pounce.
Well, maybe the TV and the news reporters
tabloids.
The tabloids did.
Yeah.
But are they powerful? No, nobody cares. It's a big Twitter up there for about half a second, and then you go on.
Mm-hmm. I gotta go blow my nose.
Okay, there it is.
Everybody,
good.
Have a good day, hour, month, second, millisecond. Peace. Say it again. And Thunder Pop is a Hit the Bricks production. Never ever will.
Neverland.
Never.
Okay.
Never, never, never.